Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb. It's StuWebb.com, and it is November the 30th, 2020, Monday. And I've got two special guests. I've got Professor Paul and Jeff on with me, financial expert. And I'm just going to kind of let them, Paul, lead it as far as the conversation today. Now, I posted tons of stuff on my website yesterday, I think are very important to the security of this country and what's getting ready to happen. And I think that people need to listen to yesterday's radio show with Scott Bennett, Paul, and what was discussed, because Sidney Powell stops the current. I'm aware bigger things are going to come. In my opinion, we're going to have a military tribunal probably charge people with treason and sedition before this January the 20th comes. I think there's going to be charges. And I believe there is a movement to clean this up. Now, the Trump supporters out here, I think you should listen to what Scott Bennett said, what we're all probably going to have to do, and the American people. And I made a statement in reference to something yesterday, and I'm holding to it. And that is, if we have massive outbreak of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which have been declared terrorist groups by the president, I would say this. I don't want to see if the planet's left intact and this isn't Jesus' total return yet, and we are setting everything back to let mankind live for a while and have a couple generations behind us. I'm 66. Shit, I want to see a few generations behind me, if possible. And if this is the setup, if they come out and start burning these and all this other crap, as this comes down, and it proves that they tried to overthrow President Donald Trump twice, two different elections, I say, hey, they're out there robbing and looting and stealing and burning. Go blow their private parts off so we don't have more generations of this crap behind us. That said, I welcome you, Professor Paul and Jeff. And Paul, I'll say, pick it up from there, would you? What subject would you gentlemen like to discuss today?
Thanks, Stu. Another great introduction. And the thing about Stu and I and Joffrey is we can be expansive. We can go a lot of different directions. But I thought we would focus initially on the economy and maybe do 25, 30 minutes on the economy, and then do maybe the last 15 on General Flynn and McInerney and what Dr. Bennett talked about, just try and tie a knot around the bow there. I want to start off with a story from my childhood when I was about 17 years old, and I think it's appropriate because what I'm seeing from a lot of my neighbors and friends and people that I'd like to awaken is going to be illustrated in this example. I'm driving on a four-lane road. I'm not driving. I'm actually in the passenger seat. And my friend has a 280Z. And some of our listeners may remember those cars, the Datsun 280Z. And about maybe 50 yards ahead of us, my friend saw the pedestrian walking across the street, and he was in the same lane that we were in, and so there were three lanes to the right. It was a four-lane road. So he honked his horn, and he got the attention of the pedestrian, and we were traveling about 35 to 45 miles an hour. It could have been 50. So he honks his horn, and immediately, and so my friend honks his horn, then switches lanes, and he sees the guy panic, and he starts to run across the street. And my friend had already committed to moving lanes so that the pedestrian would know, we're coming, we'll get out of your way, just stay there. It was not a crosswalk. And it was the craziest thing I ever saw. The pedestrian ran as fast as he could towards the car as my friend continued to move from the furthest lane on the left to the furthest lane on the right. So he goes four different lanes. And, I mean, the guy had amazing confidence. And the guy is sprinting directly at the car. And so if my friend would not have held steady and kept moving over lanes, he would hit the guy. The guy was running right into the car. It was like, are you freaking kidding me? What is wrong with you? But I only give that example because it is what I see in America right now. And it's so common that people are so anxious to sign on their death warrant, to say, oh, man, yeah, I'm down with this new world order. I'm down with global warming. I'm down with sustainability. I'm down with inclusivity. I'm down with unity. I'm down with resiliency. All of these bizarre plans that the new world has concocted, and the people that are doing them, they're behind eugenics and depopulation, and they've funded all the wars, and yet the people, it's like they want to serve their dark masters. And maybe that example wasn't concrete enough, but I just couldn't believe this guy ran at the car so it could run him over. And I know it was the flight-fright response.
Sometimes, Paul, you've illustrated to the listeners a great example, but sometimes demonic attacks are bizarre. And the demon will just show up out of nowhere and all of a sudden run in front of your car. I can talk about this all day long. You were having a demonic attack, I guarantee you. Go ahead.
Well, and the reason I'm bringing this up is I want to now turn to the economic side of things. And I think all of us have heard it's the economy, stupid, that what the voter will really understand is their pocketbook, the book or economics. And yet I have to admit that when the stock market hit 26,000, I'm talking about the Dow, I gave up on trying to understand it. And what little money I have invested, I parked about 80% of it into treasuries, and I know that I got to get out of treasuries because they're going to be old maids real soon. But what I decided at 26,000 is I could no longer even keep dancing. And much to my chagrin and surprise, the market continued to go up to 30,000. And I'm talking about the Dow Industrial Average. We could talk about other averages. And I want to bring Joffrey in here. But I would read these headlines. And I will admit that I've studied economics seriously since 1979. So I'm not new. And I'm pretty good at theoretical economics. And I can even describe microeconomics, which I think is fairly elegant. It's the business enterprise, the individual unit and economy. But right now we have an economy that makes zero sense. We're creating money out of thin air and we're juicing a system and I can't figure it out. And so I'm out of the markets and I'm watching the headlines, and the only headlines that seem to indicate that somebody should have any faith in the stock market would be on these phony vaccines or these poisonous vaccines, and maybe vaccine means poison. That's my take. Anyway, I went expansive on you guys because we talked earlier, Stu. Jeffrey, can you please make some sense of what's going on economically? I sent you a article that happens to validate my thinking by Martin Armstrong. I know you and I both read Armstrong. I thought his analysis, his algorithm says civil war, and it's got to be civil war because they've done everything with the economy that they can possibly do, and now the only thing they have left is to collapse it. What say you, Joffrey?
Well, that's probably the next step. We're kind of in a transition of two systems. We have an old system that we relied on, and it served us well for years. But now, how do you transition to a new one? And so you look at kind of big picture, and you might say, well, gee, the stock market was up. yesterday. You know, the Dow was up 300 points. Well, it was because of the vaccine, hopes for the vaccine. But there's always a narrative to cover yesterday's reaction to the market. So it's always kind of, well, this is why it went up or this is why it went down. And that isn't necessarily the case at all, because it tends to have a mind of its own. But you have to have something as a beacon to instill confidence and hope in a system that's in decay. And by doing so, you say, okay, well, gee, we really can't point it at XYZ over here because it's not doing well. Or, gee, the housing industry's off because, you know, people can't afford homes because there's more apartments being built. Or you can always point at something in the economy and say, well, that isn't doing well, but, gee, the stock market is. So keep hope in that, people, despite the pandemic going on. Let's have some optimism about something. So you have to inflate this market, and that's kind of what we know. We have assets that are stocks that compose these indexes. There's a basket of stocks that compose an index. We have to have that basket worth more tomorrow than yesterday. You can't go backwards. So I guess where I kind of see things is we are moving from a system of where everybody kind of got to play, you know, like the old game of Monopoly. You know, you could go around the board and you could buy properties, you could buy part of the Reading Railroad, Pennsylvania Avenue, you could buy pieces on the game and participate when somebody landed on your space. And you could kind of verify that because you had the little house or the little hotel on your property, the little red or the little house, whatever indicator. But you could have progress made. You could show progress. You could verify. Well, now imagine they take all those pieces out of there. You can't put the properties. You can't put the ownership on the board. But you can still go around the board. You can still go past go and collect your $200, but you don't own anything. And so now we've kind of got Monopoly in reverse. We've got titles. We've got paper. We've got transcripts. We've got things that look like we hold something of value. But the real trick is how you transition that to the new system. You have to let the old one falter. And I just think we're kind of in that space. You know, where we're at, I mean, it's a slow-motion drill. We're in a slow-motion war where everything is just transitioning. And when you connect the dots, you can kind of see it. But you got to keep in mind that a lot of people play this game. It's big pools of money. And sometimes those big pools of money have nowhere to go. And by default, you get money coming into the stock markets. You get money coming into the bond markets because they can withstand all those big pools of money. Because you could take a big pool of money and you could buy up the existing gold market, all of it, or all the silver. You could buy up all the above-ground silver. I mean, there just isn't big enough warehouses of metals to satisfy large pools of money. So the markets are going to respond to that. But as you say, where they go from here is probably the big question. And we can talk about that as we go on here. But you got to kind of keep in mind, the goal is to make everything sustainable. Is this market sustainable? Human ingenuity, human output coded with possibly DNA, coded with Bitcoin technology, blockchain technology, where human output becomes currency, is kind of where we're moving. What are you worth as a person? What kind of conductivity do you have in a system that operates on a blockchain? How do you measure that? How much credits do you get? How good are you to get credits? What involves getting credits? You go away from something you own to something that you are. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
Well,
what you're saying is very big. And what I think I'm hearing and what we've talked about is there is going to be a transition, which you guys are always ahead of me. It's the Great Reset.
Yeah,
and we've been told about this Great Reset. And, of course, how confounding for them to call it the Great Reset. Mm-hmm. Because in my estimation, we have these institutions, and the institutions are the Federal Reserve, the City of London, the Bank of International Settlements, the IMF, the World Bank. And all of these institutions will undoubtedly be part of the reset. But what does a reset look like beyond it makes everyone poor and nobody owns anything? And how can the reset be anything but catastrophic, because there is no indication that it will be fair or just or controlled by anything other than the criminals who are absolutely insane? I mean, we are really dealing with a madness. And this madness, of course, causes us all to live in an asylum, because so few of us appear to be willing to stand up to these people or capable of gathering an audience that we can even get people to understand what we're talking about. What does this reset look like, and how can it not be first grid down civil war in America?
Wow. Well, let's consider that data is the new oil. And the system runs on the oil. Well, now the system's running on the data and the collection of data. And everywhere you turn, there's data collection. You know, you can go to the store. You have your rewards card. You got your rewards card. You know, everything's a rewards card. Everything's a reward. Programming us to get used to a reward. And these young people at the cat, you know, they're taking your money or your whatever. And they'll all ask if you have a rewards card. They don't know what they're asking for, but it's data collection. What do you buy? When did you buy? And the thing about blockchain is what they want ultimately with this, and when you get the Great Reset going, is they want everything to be quantifiable and everything verifiable. You'll run on and Stu has mentioned this before, on a debit and credit balance. Oh, gee, you went across the crosswalk and you didn't stop when the light was. That's a debit on your account. Oh, look at that guy over there. Look what he did. He helped that guy harvest some weeds out of his backyard, and they made a stew out of it. He did a good deed. He gets credits. So you're going to have a scale and a method of measurement that is real time, that tells exactly what you're doing, because the DNA changer that they can inject into you with a vaccination will light up. They call it Fairfly, too. There's a thing that's going to give off a light, and it's going to be an indicator that can see where you're at, what you're doing, and how this thing's working. This is what's being talked about. But it's a way for this injection, if it is including these nanotechnology bots that can correspond with each other, assimilate together, can talk to each other. You become part of the grid, and the goal is we are all connected to the grid, the Internet of Things, the sustainability of things. We move to this all-inclusive measurement system that calculates mathematical equation of who we are, what is our potential output. I would like to bet on that 25-year-old guy on his potential output. And I'm going to wager X number of Bitcoin to do it, this kind of thing. There'll always be a gaming. There'll always be some kind of a market. But it's not going to be for everybody to play in. It's going to be for the elite to play in and for us to participate in. But, again, it's kind of like going around the Monopoly board. You don't get to buy anything to keep. They want you to rent it. You don't own anything. You just use it. Wouldn't it be nice? You know. So that's kind of the theory. Big picture of what they're
an example. If you have equity, Leonard Millman, Danny Bush comes now. Larry Mizell will come with Brownstein, come steal your house with attorneys and say they own your mortgage, but they don't. Oh yeah, we bought it from
uh-huh.
one of the network at the time.
Uh-huh.
Back in 2008. Oh yeah, we bought your mortgage, so we own your equity, your house. But you don't know that we also own your mortgage company that loaned you the money on the house. We own it too. So this is a way we come steal your equity and kick you out of your house and rent your house for a higher dollar.
Yep.
And rental properties among these big corporations controlled by these friggin' rat bastards, I call them. And they come in and with a set of attorneys and they steal your house. And it's these divisions of Brownstein Law Firm out of Denver. That are all these attorney firms they bought up all across the nation to do this and control. So what they did is they just stole your equity, and your mortgage company's not going to defend you with their attorneys because it's them. And it's still going on. There were 12 million people lost their homes since 2008. And I don't like it. It's still going on. It keeps growing. That's an example. Now, Paul, you said, Jeff, you said example of what's coming. It's going to be with the mark of the beast and the vaccination and the chip and all that. Can't buy or sell. You take your car down there and slide it in and it won't work anymore. You got your vaccination note, but you're going to have to get that in order to use your bank account. That's what it's coming to. Now, something is an example that I think Paul and Jeff both have gone in this direction with, is in 1981, the General Accounting Office, the watchdog for the U.S. Congress and Senate, report to them what they find from the Treasury, IRS, Comptroller of Currency, et cetera. Now, what are the numbers? 20% of the U.S. economy was controlled by 1% of the population, which is the New World Order, the Council of 12. And they're disciples of Satan. 200,000 fallen angels, actually we've got 300 and some of the 200,000 registered with the NSA. Those are aliens, fallen angels. But they have a council of 12 who are the money, they're like the comptrollers of currency for the New World Order's empire. They're the 12 top dogs. Daddy Boo was one of them. My former witch doctor's father was one of them. Now it inhabits Larry Mizell, who's the controller. Because he moved $100 trillion into his control after Milman died. Here's the point. 1981, the General Accounting Office, which has no prosecutorial ability, but they carry guns and badges for investigative purposes, said 1% of the population controlled 20% of the United States economy, straight across the board. Now, they came back in with another report in 2012, folks, just 8 years ago. 2012, they come out with a report, General Accounting Office, that says, from their numbers reporting the Congress, the Senate, that 400 men control 95% of the U.S. economy. 400 men control 95% of the U.S. economy. Norman Brownstein controls half the pension funds in America through Fidelity Financial in Denver, where he's on the board of directors, the APEC director, Milman's two little goons out of law school in 72, Mizell and Brownstein, who Brownstein becomes CIA director to Daddy Bush, counsel to the director. And who was his underlayment underneath him? Bill Barr, the current attorney general. But here's your two goons, Fidelity, controlling half the pension funds. And then the other, J.P. Morgan had, and after they had to pay that fine, Mizell helped them out by buying up their block of pension funds through Great West Life Insurance of Denver, a subsidiary of Power Financial, Meyer Lansky's old money, the mob, Milman took over, created Great West Life, which is Imperial Savings, they collapsed, and a whole bunch of others. But Great West Life owns HSBC Bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp, the largest in the world. This has always been involved in the drug money laundering from Silverado to it and all over the world, and still is. They control the economy, period. They're stealing people's equity, their houses. People, they're all part of this connected to the Dominion software and the lockdown and all the bullshit that, in my opinion, is a major, major power play good versus evil, period. And we're coming down to a battle, and they've got control of everything. And they aren't going to chip me. And I'm not going to play the friggin' game. And they're going to throw Trump out because he's our last hope. There are two divisions of this masonry, Paul. One's good and one's evil, in my opinion. A Trump, he's the good side. He's no holy, perfect character by any means, but he was put there, I believe, by God as our last hope of defense. We're going to have to defend God, and we're going to have to defend our nation, our country, our kids, grandkids, everything else, relatives. And it's coming down to that. It's a power play between good and evil. And we're seeing the Biden crowd showing their colors in every direction. That's the evil force against us right now, in my opinion. And I may have to get out here with my toy and shut it down, arrest politicians and whatever it takes. And I'm willing to do it. The prayer.
Well, I want to interject.
Prayer is powerful. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I want to interject and bring Jeffrey back into this. Once you recognize that the whole world is insolvent, it is propped up on phony fiat currency. It's only backed up by people's willingness to still accept it. And we've got a number of things that are correlated. Actually, everything is correlated. But what we want to understand is what causes what. And I wanted to start off with the topical economics as a way to integrate a couple of other phenomena. So you have everybody but America that it basically has agreed to lock down, and even here we got people wearing masks and social distancing and getting tested and just going along with the whole fraudulent agenda. And eventually, and maybe eventually is sooner than I expect, and Flynn and Sidney Powell and all of these guys are going to pull on that thread. And once you pull on that thread, everything comes unraveled. In other words, you got Rudy Giuliani, the cover-up guy on 9/11 and the West Point pedophilia that is still acting as a front man, as the lead attorney or one of the lead attorneys for the election fraud. And once you expose all of this criminality and corruption, and it's being proven to be very difficult to even, because the mainstream media is not covering it and people are in serious denial. In the meantime, they're running at the speeding car that's trying to avoid them. And it just is a freaking asylum. We are living in a madhouse, and this whole hive mind, social credits, it is so bizarre, and yet people are either asleep or compliant or fearful. I don't quite understand how best to describe it other than it's surreal. So back to the economy here. We have a surreal economy. It is a surreal stock market, but it's what's maybe keeping us asleep until the very end, because once you pull on the thread of the criminality and corruption that is the American political system, the American governmental system, the American military-industrial complex, then, whoa, the 400 men who own 98% of the wealth, they're not going to give up their position. They serve their fallen masters. They are absolutely under the spell of the fallen ones. So I guess what I'm getting at is once Trump and Flynn and even Rudy and the whole thing starts to unravel and gets exposed, does it seem very obvious that you pulled the plug on the economy? And, you know, I've spent my life trying to be a futurist. And one of the things I don't like is I've been right too often. And I'm just seeing this as a, you expose the opaqueness, you open it up to sunlight and disinfect them, and these 400 families or 10,000 people that have ruled the world or tried to rule the world or pursued their new world order since Nimrod, or is it, are they all Solomon's kids? You know, I just sometimes I wonder. But most of them can trace their heritage, their birth order or the birthright back to at least 4,800 years ago. I just see that we're gonna see the grid go down, and we're gonna see economies collapse. And I'm not even sure. I guess I defer to you guys, because right now I'm looking for perspective, because I'm seeing the grid going down and the economy being collapsed simultaneously, which is uncivil war, and that to me looks like the next 6 months.
You know, in the grand scope of things, I guess you could say, okay, if you're part of the deep state program and you think this thing's getting away from you, I guess you'd go back and say, is it getting away from you, or is it going in the direction you want it to? And I guess this is where, Paul, you know, you probably influenced me and Stu both in thinking a little bit reverse engineering. So China comes along with a China virus that they perhaps say, hey, we can take a hit on our economy. We'll concentrate this in the Wuhan province. We'll have it explode there, because we know either we can get players involved in the U.S. that will go along with real draconian lockdown measures and cripple their economy while we release ours, because ultimately we need to be the exporter slash of the world until we no longer need to export. We can sustain our own economy with our own population. So are they that devious that they go ahead, they allow us to disintegrate? But in the meantime, as we disintegrate, they're part of planning in blocks of 150 to 100 years to 200 years. We think about tomorrow, maybe. But we don't plan like they plan. So they have different stakes in the game in the sense than we might, how they think of things. But are they that devious that they get us to a point where, like Paul just mentioned, he just pulled a certain string, and now this thing comes apart. Now it unfolds. Now it's easier for people to accept the transition, because people want to know one thing. What's next? What's going to happen next? Everybody wants to know that. But are we at that point? And I'd have to say we've got to be close, because if you're going to introduce the new, you got to get the old out of the way, but it's got to be resoundingly out of the way. It's got to be pointed out how fraudulent it really was. Look how bad it was. I can't believe we all didn't know this was coming. We didn't see it coming. Why?
I saw this coming way back in the 80s when I couldn't make sense of classical economics relative to what we were doing with Keynesian economics. And I was at a major university connected to a Federal Reserve, and these people said, well, what you're saying is very interesting. We just disagree with you. And I just proved with 800 years of data and 400 years of data, I said, no, I'm not crazy. Look at the data. This is what Keynesian economics does. It's a massive wealth transfer. It always goes from the middle class to the very top, and it makes everyone poor. And so gradually over time, and that's why Stu's example from the 80s and 90s and 2008 is so appropriate, is because what they have done is just transfer the wealth more and more through Keynesian economics, modern monetary theory. And that is, you run deficits, you create debt to create money, and effectively the fiat currency, nothing. So anyway, I just want to interject that, because I think with the time that we have here, maybe the next 10 months, then we'll finish with everyone's assessment on where we are with the election and so forth. But where do we go with the reset? What do you got, Jeffrey?
the reset part of it, I think if we, as people who aren't going to play the game, let's say we don't want to go along with this, we have to learn to divest ourselves from where they're going. So we see it, you know, an example like the barcode of life. They want everything identified. They want a barcode on anything. My thought, personal thought, is, hey, if there's something that you need, you do get it now. Because trying to get it later is probably going to be an impossibility, and it's going to be recorded at the time you bought it. It goes on a record. It goes on exactly what your buying habits are. I think the important note is, how do I back away from something that I'm so used to? We are used to a system that pretty much it takes care of itself. I can, you know, I don't have to worry about, is my refrigerator going to be on in the morning? It just is. I don't have to worry about the gas station not having gas. It just does. We have to start thinking a little bit in reverse. We have to start to back away from what we once relied upon is not going to be what sustains a Christian going forward. It's not going to be in the cards for us. Whatever steps we have to take and how we have to reverse our thinking, we have to back up from this great reset, because it's just going to, it's going to pin everybody into their game, and we know that. But that's when the button gets pushed, when all hell breaks loose, so to speak. Here's the solution. And Stu, you said this many times, problem, solution. So, you know, it's where we're headed. I guess my thought on the whole thing with where we're at with it, it's going to be pretty big. It's going to be pretty shocking, but it's going to be pretty all-encompassing. And I think John Kerry recently said, or somebody just made mention, that, we need to eat weeds. We need to harvest weeds in our yard. And how is that different from let them eat cake? Where France, I suppose, Paul, you probably remember where that quote came from. But, you know, it's derogatory. It's, hey, let them just eat cake. Well, that wasn't a good thing. Put some flour together. Let the poor people have that. And now we're hearing, let them eat weeds. It's good for you. It's good for your digestion. They're encouraging. They're encouraging the destruction of our economy and who we are. Degrade us. Make us wear masks. Distance us from each other. It's a degradation. Downward cycle. We got to stop. You know, we're not playing that crap. We're going our own direction by getting to know other people, getting the connections with people that you can trust. We have to start to think in reverse of this thing.
Good point. Waiting for Stu. What's on your mind based on that? We've given you the fire hydrant, and for our sake and for the listeners' sake, can you make some sense of what we're talking about?
Oh yeah. Here's my attitude towards it all. This is a final battle, and I know God's in the equation, Jesus Christ. I know that. Other than Terry Reed, who wrote the book Clinton, Bush, and the CIA, who can sell his book, but he can't talk. He put guns to his head and his wife's head, take the $200,000 and go down the street. He had to. That was the point. I'm only alive because of God and Christ. And I know every year there's been an attempt, and I got a broken neck and back and scars on my forehead and skull split, and I mean, not crack, but split, and all kinds of crazy shit, satellite others. I've been through it. I'm only living and breathing because of God, and I know that my prayers are being answered, and I know other people's prayers are being answered, sending warned angels after the enemy. God's warned angels. Prayer. It works. Now, here's where we're at. Either people can concede to Satan and say, okay, you can have me, and I'll take your vaccination, and you can mind screw me all you want through your media, the whole bit, which are nothing but controlled by this Council of 12. They bought the media out and all of Hollywood, Brockman's and Millman and Daddy Bush, and they got the studios with Millman and ABC and CB or ABC and Mickey Mouse and all that. He controlled that, myself. They bought it all out in the early 90s to control it. We are getting nothing but a big mind-effed job. FUC, I won't say it. It's a mind game. And it's Satan working all the time. Look, they've made us slaves to the New World Order. Think about it, folks. Oh, you go to work 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week, and some of them only 32 to keep you from getting a pension or insurance or whatever the crap is. And you're barely getting by. And now the small businesses are all burned out. I think Catherine Fitz has touched on that, and she was appointed because of me to clean up HUD, and she never got there. Instead, later on, we're both written about in a book called, what was it called? Oh, I forgot. I forgot. Anyway, I'm written about several of them. But anyway, she put out something on Solari.com recently about what this is about them, the last of the takeovers of the inner cities, the rebuilding of it for their whatever it is agenda, UN 2020, 2030 now, all this crap. This is all mind screw. This is all set up on everybody. Now, after 30 and a half years, and I'm still alive, I'm seeing God moving with prayers and such tremendous force. If people would get enough faith and belief, I don't think this is going to have to happen, which I'm going to explain what is going to happen, because I'm going to participate in it. If this demon-possessed pedophile, son pedophile, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Biden, and your prostitute, illegal alien, Harris, former prostitute, white slave owner, her father was in Jamaica, and her grandfather, can't even be president or vice president, can't even be senator, I don't believe. Here's what's going to happen. In my opinion, with the Trump supporters and the things going on out here, and I believe there's a God equation in this whole deal, we're going to see a mass arrests. We're probably going to see mass executions. In my opinion, it would be good for this country. The 12 disciples who control the economy, think about this, folks. If they were arrested, the ones that committed treason and sedition, you're going to get the 12 disciples and their controller. Now, if we do that, wow, we got them for RICO as an example, drug money laundering, all these different things, as well as stealing the presidential election. Well, that gets you executed. But what can the government do then? They can claw back all their friggin' assets. All their assets. Daddy Bush has over $100 trillion in assets in the United States alone. Larry Mizell's controlling $100 trillion in assets. Malls of America, Inco, the largest apartment owner in the United States, 500,000 units they stole from the government since 1972. Millman, Mizell. Now they, you know, because of the scandal I put on them, they reduced it down about 300,000. The other 200,000 moved to other entities they control. You claw back. Jesus Christ. Okay, you got 12 disciples. I could point probably close to $300 trillion with the total businesses and everything. Go to the 400 that the, you know, general accounting office can lead right to the boys. But the numbers, do a clawback. Take these punks, these evil punks, all they did was steal from the American people. Buy out the corporations, reduce the pension fund, reduce the pension fund. My dad, with a security clearance out of Bendig, top secret shit for the government, and he was in charge of quality reassurance when he retired at 73,000, gets 38 now because two corporations of Daddy Bush has bought the company out. I mean, this is the kind of crap that's gone on to everybody that's alive still in America. All we do is a clawback. We arrest them for what they've done. And now is the opportunity for us to do it with the movement, with the power of God, to put an end to these people. Now, can you imagine a couple hundred trillion dollars, Jeff, parked in the United States Treasury? All of a sudden, they seized all those assets. They start selling that off to the private sector. Only Americans can buy these assets. Well, the government's even got financing plans for us. What does that do? It creates tax revenue immediately from the United States government in every state that the assets are in. Immediately. That's revenue. That means people don't pay taxes for 10 years if you calculate the numbers out. And we would have about, I calculate out one time just out of curiosity, we'd end up with, after all the assets are sold for 50 cents on the dollar, over inflated prices and all the other stuff, and the economy returns to the people in 10 years back into their control, everybody in America that are citizens of America would receive $1.5 million over a 10-year period of time and would not have to pay state or federal income tax because there's enough money there to solve the pregnant problem. That's my solution.
It's very well high level. It's reasoned out. It's problematic in its execution. I want to give Jeff the last word on where we at economically. When does this great reset happen? I would like to see everything that Stu suggested happen, but there's so many moving parts to it, and we really don't have a functioning government. We have at least 300 congresspeople that are totally treasonous. Sedition and treason, it's too kind a word for the Benedict Arnolds, and that's we've got full of Washington, D.C., so we really don't have
The only ones that should be, the rest of them should be taken to the trees, in my opinion, for treason and sedition. But you have Jim Johnson or Jim Jordan of Ohio, good guy. You had Nunes and DeSantis, both good guys. One's now the governor of Florida. And then you had some guy named Stewart, his last name, from Utah. The rest of them need to be taken and arrested. Go ahead, Paul.
I like what we're saying, but I want to keep things very real. What I see happening is the thread is getting pulled, and once you pull that thread, everything comes out. And Jeffrey mentioned it a little bit earlier. He's been in my head. I've been in his. Some of this seems to be pretty diabolical in that it sets us up for economic collapse, and it also sets us up for the grid going down and sets us up for uncivil war. And perhaps America, well, hey, God gets to do what God gets to do. It's God's plan, and my knowledge of good and evil doesn't much matter to God. He's not impressed at all with me, I can tell you that much. About the only thing that I can do is be fearless, be in prayer, and forgiveness for myself and everybody else, and pray for God's will to be done. We didn't need that necessarily. We might want to close with that. But Jeffrey, where is the Great Reset relative to everything else going on? But we're not giving financial advice here. We're talking about big picture. And I just want to add one thing. Stu, I think you have a great understanding of America. But the economy is global. And there may be 12 disciples and 13 that run America. But Europe, America has been owned by a foreign power, and that foreign power is likely Rome and not England. We aren't like Canada, where England or the crown supposedly owns Canada. But you've got a worldwide economy, and you got the Chinese, you got the Russians and the Europeans, and you got Brussels. And my personal opinion is above the United Nations is a world federation. And while we're looking at the United Nations, they have this world federation that's in cahoots in agreement with the fallen ones, and we can't go there now, but I think we should do maybe a next show on that, because that world federation out of Brussels maybe explains things better than what we're doing right now, which is closer to the surface and not maybe big enough picture. But Jeffrey, ask your question. Where are we at with Great Reset and universal basic income? And is the guy with $50 million any better than the guy with $10 million? Is the guy with $200,000 any better than the guy with $50,000? Or are we all just a few days away from third world America?
Yeah, great question. There's an expiration date on everything. We have an expiration date on our market and our money. Right now what's taking place with the pandemic is cripple the middleman and the small guy, funnel the profits back up to the big corporations that can survive this. Matter of fact, they're not just surviving, they're doing very well. They're adding to their wealth by the billions, the Gates, the Amazons. These places are doing great. So it is the wealth transfer. It's being siphoned away from the hardworking people, middle-class people, to the upper crust. So the shift is taking place. And that's just one part of the Great Reset. We forget that it's a reset of everything. It's not just financial. So it's a reset of your lifestyle. It's a reset of how you think about things. So really, on our part of it, we probably will experience pain. And I like what Stu said, because really our battle is not against – our battle is against powers and principalities. We are fighting a spiritual war. So we engage in this differently than the person who's not of the faith of how we believe in Jesus Christ. They don't. Maybe you've got a Muslim or somebody else or somebody who's a Hindu. They don't approach it the same way we do. But we have an element that we can defend ourselves with, and that's the spiritual side. So, but we will experience pain, and there's no way around it because we can't play in that game. But we will experience pain. But those who become dependent, I feel bad for. Those who think they need the system to survive, those I pity, because they're going to be the ones physically and literally handcuffed and mind cuffed. As Stu mentioned a minute ago, everything that they're so accustomed to, they don't want to change their lifestyle, but it's going to change. So, yeah, the guy with the $10 million, $50 million, it really isn't going to matter. Because when they pull the plug or when they devalue, if I had a $50 million, now it's $25. But maybe it's not even $25. Maybe that only applies in certain situations. There's a lot of different directions they can go. And don't think it's already been planned out. We know it has. They've already got the game. They already got the new game ready to go. We just don't know what it's called. But it is under the guise of the Great Reset.
Stu, it's your show. I think we let you close out. And, you know, you get to hear from the listeners, and we need feedback, too. We want to cover topics and explain things to the best of our ability and contribute to what your listeners are sending you. I can just imagine how many people want you to post something on the site. It can be probably overwhelming at times. You get to close us out on this one.
Well, a lot of stuff, a lot of listeners send. By the time I get to them within 24 hours to take a look at stuff, Google is pulling everything down.
Yeah,
censorship. By the way, folks, if you haven't seen, I've got a little stuff on Dominion. I posted a few things, cyber terrorist attacks. It's coming out of the same servers. What stole the election is the servers called Cogentco, Cogentco.com. Cogentco is a Israeli-owned private telephone and internet company owned by private Israelis corporations. Now, is the United States government's telephone system, folks, and their internet system. That means all your government employees and the entire system is infiltrated by a foreign, I don't call them anything but an enemy, because all they do is use this called the State of Israel. But the phone system's intertwined with Israeli phone internet system and is connected to Bluffdale, Utah. Now, go in and listen on my radio bar, topofstuweb.com. Scroll down and listen to Otis Johnson. I posted a couple months ago or whatever it was. Oh, 13-minute conversation, because they had a hit on me. Something was on me. I was calling him. We had a general conversation. He didn't know it was being recorded because he had told me they were after him. He's talking about going out to Bluffdale soon. I put him on an airplane with General Flynn in Grand Island, Nebraska in 2008, I believe it was, or wait a minute, 4 or 8, whichever it was. And then Hayden was another one. I put him on an airplane, took him in his Cadillac, drove him up there. Because I was remodeling his house one time. Another time he got me a contract on another house to redo the whole thing so I can make a living. He helped me out in that area. Here is the point. Where's that going with this, Paul?
Well, you've got Coach and Co. You got the Nation of
Israel. Oh, the company. Infiltration. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, the infiltration with the internet and the espionage is so heavy. And I know about Bluffdale being 6 floors below ground, NSA computers. But there's an alien base, folks, hooked up to it. And Otis told me that. He says, "Dude, you're right. They got an alien base." I saw him cut the friggin' hole in 1994, 5, driving across the desert out there in Utah. And, wow, I thought I got hit by a, you know, radar. Wow, I'm seeing lights flash. I'm saying, shit, I'm running 100 miles an hour through there. No traffic around or anything. Out there on I-70. And this Ford hits into Utah and Richfield. But there's an alien base they built there. And you know what they did? They set up a big fence out there, 10-foot barbed wired, topped. And it's the new base for the FEMA camp. And it's 10 square miles almost out there that they got at this, the stuff, a million people in it. What do they think they're going to do is what Otis told me. Now, they got the alien base there. What's the aliens? They're fallen angels that the human race made an agreement with, starting with Hitler. Then it became the U.S. government, forced Eisenhower to do it. And John Lear, my friend, built the saucers in exchange. His dad had Lear jets. His dad built the saucers, 52 to 59, 150 for our military. So we've got all this advanced technology. We've got lasers to bend and dissolve cities. We could take one of these little toys we got now that's alien technology. We could destroy Long Island and the three boroughs up there, and it'd look like 911 dust all over again. That's the bendable laser. Daddy Bush used it on 911. We got this from the aliens. But here's the problem we have, folks. There's 200,000 of them that are registered with the NSA that are alien possessed, as the government, NSA, calls it. As Otis Johnson and I used to talk, I said, they're fallen angels. See, I'm in agreement with you, but the government calls them the aliens. Now, Hope, Arkansas, I discovered through Rodney, I forget his last name. He was an Arkansas Democrat Gazette newspaper that used to do a ton of stories for me and Al Martin about me in Arkansas and all that. He was covering it all. Well, I'm hiding from the FBI even, and before, in 91. Here was the point. He discovered, and I brought it to his attention because I got told by someone about this, that there was a cloning base underneath there, that they brought these old Nazi scientists over and were cloning in Hope, Arkansas. Rodney went batshit crazy. He confirmed everything with me of what his investigations had been. I mean, they got an elevator in there. They got a special, you know, have to punch in a number or put the card in or whatever to even open up the door, which goes to an elevator area, goes down underground. Otis said that the government has registered 10 million clones, folks, clones that they have developed since 1940-something in Arkansas, registered with the government. These are the aliens' clones that they control. Now, Daddy Bush controls a defense contractor called Raytheon. His son and this new, if he's really dead and not in Paraguay, which I believe he is, there's an attorney in Fort Worth, I forgot his name. He would be the replacement that jumped, that the fallen angel is now inhabiting that attorney who's in control. Because Jeb Bush was too dumb and the other ones, and he felt that way. And there are several people who have told me about this. So it's probably the attorney in control. Here's the point. Raytheon is E-Systems of Dallas, Texas. It helped steal the election with what's called the Westar series of satellites. That Raytheon Corporation is subsidiary E-System controls. It's what killed Liz Johnson, Stonar, S-T-O-N-E, hyphen R technology, where what it does is they shoot Stu Webb, because he looked me up on the NSA computers, because he was part of the NSA think tank at certain times during his retirement. 5 days a week, kept national security and all of us safe. He was part of that. Super spook. He spent $150 million in training on this guy. And I got to know him, honored to know him. Here's the point. E-Systems had been doing with Westar Satellite, stealing the elections. Every election. You wonder, well, how do they do that? Well, everything electronic, folks, either you punch an electronic machine or you do a paper ballot that you bring it up and they tear off the end and you put it in, or you put it in the new machine, but it's counted by the machine. The satellite changes the machine during the day to make the numbers look what they want to do. That's how they've been able to keep these fucking rat bastards in the United States Senate, Congress, and in power all these years. 30, 40 years as a congressman and senator. Oh, my God, come on. This is how they've done it. Now, E-Systems, you hear Jeb Bush coming out the next day after the election congratulating Biden for winning the presidency. And here he's a Republican. Oh, come on. He's part of it. E-Systems was. I'll explain E-Systems just real quick. There was a guy that went down and killed five cops in New Orleans about 4 or 5 years ago. He was from Kansas City, Missouri. It was all over the local news. I said, Chip, I'm going to look him up on the internet. I start for pictures of this cat and gator. Who do I find him with? The guy that rode me, tried to kill me for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, got his arm around him. I called over stuff. I said, this son of a bitch is, you know, et cetera. And I tell him, he says, Stu. I said, he says, he made a stop on the way. The chair. I said, E-Systems. He says, yeah, they put him on programmed him before he went down and shot them all off. I said, was he a clone? He says, I don't know. This was a killer squad. Guess where they're operating out of? Google Fiber, Kansas City. And they're operating out of the Jackson County, Missouri prosecutor Gene Baker's office. And it's part of division number 5 of the FBI, which was run by this fucking rat bastard named Strzok that everybody saw over national TV, where good guy Jim Jordan Nunes and others fried him in their conversations with him. He's the rat bastard that was putting hits on everybody. And he's still working for the CIA, drawing a payroll. If I saw you on the streets, I would have temporary insanity.
All right, we got it. We got it.
Now, here's the point. We're under such a mind control and such a control factor that they have over us. Here's the point. A big point. They're frying each and every one of us on a daily basis with technology. Technology, technology, technology. They're radiating off right now. And this so-called COVID virus is not what's killing people. From what I understand from alternative doctors and nurses, it's calcium, magnesium, zinc, and vitamin D are what the people are dying because they're lacking it in their nutrients. You look at the bigger picture, if you take those things, like they were trailing us to death, chemtrails, folks, this is what has happened just before the election, during the election, and after the election. And they're radiating us. A glass of apple juice every day, calcium, magnesium, zinc, vitamin D, and oregano P73 will help you through this physically. I know that. It's doing it for me. It's doing it for a disbarred attorney whistleblower friend of mine. He got hit with it too. We need to do this. But the cell phones, when you're not using it, turn the damn thing off. If you can pull the battery and chip with it. People are getting radiated. Stay off the internet except when you need to go in there and see what you want to see. This is serious. But we've got a very serious situation in front of us. The devil is right in our face, and he's doing everything he can to take final control and get everybody chipped up and vaccinated. This is what it's all about. They got control of the damn economies of the world. And it's less than 200,000 of them, or 300,000 maybe, if a third of the angels fell. I don't know. But I know this, that those who have the power of God Almighty, who have the Holy Spirit in them, believe in Jesus Christ, and were to start praying earnestly to have God send warring angels against the enemy and defeat them and allow mankind to survive so we can change, this is my hope, that we can change generations behind us and their way of thinking, where they start thinking like God and doing righteousness instead of all this wickedness that they need to have their private parts blown off, in my opinion, so we don't have more generations of them behind us. They're full of evil. This whole thing's about good versus evil. What's about? With that said, I said my preaching for the day, Paul. I'm going to let
you are the ones we've been waiting for. We got to close it out because we got to stand an hour, and we'll rebroadcast again soon based on listener feedback. Take care, you guys. Great to have you together.
Thank you, Paul, for being on with me, and thank you, Jeff.
You bet, guys.
As well.
Good.
You got any last words, Jeff?
No, that was a fair, Stu. I love what you said. I mean, it's serious. And we got generations, hopefully, that we can influence. So that was a very good word. Appreciate it.
Okay. Have a good one, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.